Podcast. Social Influence. Part 4. Obedience to Authority 2. Obedience and Disobedience.
Obedience is a type of social influence that involves complying with or deferring to a request from a legitimate authority. Many of our social institutions rely on people doing what they're told, even if they don't necessarily want to. But obedience has a very dark side. Of particular interest to psychologists are those situations where people follow an order, even when to do so would cause them to do things which would be morally unacceptable, like hurting or even killing another person. Psychologists are interested in understanding why people are prepared to obey a malevolent authority and how they can be helped to resist.
Milgram's theory of obedience.
Stanley Milgram carried out very extensive studies into why people obey authority. Based on his findings, he concluded that destructive obedience wasn't a matter of moral weakness or an evil character. Rather, it is a response to a particular set of situational factors. The three factors that Milgram thought most important are socialization, gradual commitment, and something he called the agentic shift.
Socialization.
From a very early age, we are expected to obey authority figures. We learn that obeying our parents, our teachers, and various other authority figures helps us obtain rewards and avoid punishments. And along the way, we learn to expect authorities to be trustworthy and legitimate. As a consequence, we may obey someone who appears to be an authority figure simply because it's our habit to do so. A number of studies have shown, for example, that a person wearing a uniform is twice as likely to be obeyed as a person wearing civilian clothes, even if the uniform doesn't represent any particular position of authority. Our socialization experiences cause us to see a uniform as a signal that the person wearing it should be obeyed.
Gradual commitment.
The most effective way of getting someone to obey any moral order is to start small and work up gradually. In the Milgram studies, for example, the electric shocks started at 15 volts and went up in 15 volt intervals. Gradual commitment of this sort is effective for two reasons. First, giving a 15 volt shock doesn't seem like a particularly harmful or destructive act. But once a person has entered into an agreement to obey the authority figure, it can be very difficult for them to back out. Second, the degree of escalation from one act to the next is very small. In the Milgram studies, each new shock was only 15 volts higher than the last one. That doesn't seem like very much to the participant, but it eventually leads to a situation where they're giving shocks that could seriously hurt or even kill the victim.
The agentic shift.
Milgram suggested that people are capable of operating in two distinct states. In an autonomous state, we direct our own behavior, and we take moral responsibility for what happens as a result. In the agentic state, however, we allow someone else to direct our actions. We simply become agents for their will. As a consequence of this, we abdicate responsibility for the results of our actions and pass this on to the person who's giving the orders. For Milgram, this shift into the agentic state is a major reason why people obeyed the authority in his experiments. We can hear the process at work in this recording from Milgram's original studies.
I can't stand the pain. Let me out of here.
Can't stand it. I'm not going to kill that man, eh? I mean, who's going to take the responsibility if anything happens to that gentleman?
I'm responsible for anything that happens here. Continue, please.
You accept all the responsibility?
The responsibility is mine, correct. Please go on.
Gold, dollar, necklace, moon, paint. Answer, please.
The participant here is clearly concerned about the effects the shocks are having on the victim, but once he has established that the experimenter will take responsibility for any harm, he carries on with the experiment.
Resisting authority.
Because it tells us so much about why people are prepared to obey immoral orders, Milgram's research also gives us some useful suggestions as to how people might resist a malevolent authority figure. Education may help. Some studies, although not all, have found that students who have learned about the Milgram obedience studies are far less likely to obey a destructive order than those who have not. Reminding people of their moral responsibilities also seems to be effective. Studies of people who resist obedience in real-life situations suggest they have often had an upbringing that emphasizes moral responsibility for their actions, and when participants in the Milgram study were reminded that they had responsibility for their own actions, far fewer were prepared to give the lethal levels of shock. A great deal of obedience seems to stem from assumptions about the legitimacy of the authority figure, so it follows that questioning the legitimacy of the authority can help people to disobey. Variations on the Milgram study that reduce the apparent legitimacy of the authority typically result in lower levels of obedience. And an analysis of audio recordings of the Milgram studies suggests that the earlier the participants started to protest and question the experimenter's legitimacy, the less likely they were to go all the way to 450 volts. A final factor that makes it easier to resist an authority is social support. In the Milgram studies, giving the participant the support of two other disobedient confederates was likely to result in very low levels of obedience, and many examples of resistance in the real world are significant for having been collective acts of defiance. In this respect, social psychological research confirms what many already suspect. When we are isolated, it is easy for a malevolent authority to manipulate us. But when we make a collective decision to take a stand against authority, we have the greatest chance of success.